Welcome to another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays here at KPTZ with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Cathy, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. We meet to discuss new developments, new paradigms, and the new normal as we move into the winter months and look toward the new year. Hi, Siobhan.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you as always.
Our guest today is Rita Frangione, Outreach Coordinator for VetConnect and Supportive Services through Olympic Community Action Programs of Jefferson and Clallam Counties. Rita has over 30 years of professional experience as a vocational and rehabilitation counselor in medical, industrial, private, and nonprofit settings. She retired from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs in 2013, where she counseled disabled veterans in their planning for education, training, and employment. She has a Master of Science degree in vocational rehabilitation from the University of Wisconsin-Stout. Professional services for our veterans in need are especially important out here on the peninsula and Washington State in general. In fact, veterans have spoken out on behalf of their brethren in support of awareness of veterans' issues. In 2017, for example, Eli Smith, a veteran from Ohio, spent almost a year hiking from Florida to California and up to Washington in an effort to walk the four corners of the United States to raise awareness for veteran suicide and PTSD. Rita, welcome to Community Tides.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Rita. I'm so glad you're here, and thank you so much for all of the ways you contribute to our beloved veteran community and support them. And I'm just wondering, for those of us who really don't know very much about our neighbors who are veterans, can you tell us a little bit broadly about what the veteran community looks like here?
I'll start with a phrase that I'm actually borrowing from Dr. Peter Schmidt, who is the Director of Counseling and Wellness for our Washington Department of Veterans Affairs. I've been at several trainings with him, and he always begins with this, so I'm borrowing it from him. It says, "All veterans are like some veterans are like no other veteran." That was very telling for me, and it really struck a chord when I heard it the first time. You know, what it means to me and what it reminds us of, I think, is that we have to avoid assumptions, painting a group, you know, with a broad brush. Just because veterans have a shared experience through their military service, it doesn't mean that they're all alike. They have unique experiences. Their reactions to their experiences and to their military service is very unique and always different. They all have their own stories. They share them, and sometimes they don't share them. It's up to them what they want to tell us about their experience. But you know that behind that individual that's your neighbor, your friend, someone you come across in town, you may not see out front, you know, what's behind. So I just like to remind people of that, that they're all different, just like all of us. But they do have stories, and we can't make assumptions about what those are.
Rita, are there many veterans living in Jefferson County?
Well, according to our most recent census, there are about 3,800 veterans living in Jefferson County. I just looked at this last evening. In Clallam County, there are 8,400. It's usually around double the numbers. So out of our population right now of 32,977, 11% of our population are veterans that we know of. The veterans that we see at VetConnect that I see, they tend to be older veterans. Vietnam era, especially, still some World War II, occasionally some Korean War era, and we're beginning to see more Gulf War. But the veterans that we see most often are probably around the average age of 50. We have quite a few women veterans in our county, and we have 314, according to the census, women veterans in Jefferson County, and 453 in Clallam County. So that's quite a few on the peninsula, and it is a growing population. Within the VA, they see women veterans is a fast-growing group within VA healthcare. So I just wanted to point that out because I see more and more women veterans now at VetConnect, and it's great. It's great to see coming forward because many women veterans often didn't even think of themselves as veterans. And believe it, I've heard them say that to me at times, or that they, I only served 6 years, so I don't think I have any benefits. No, you have many benefits to look forward to. So
that's important because the whole landscape has changed. That was an important point, Rita. You know, looking back over the wars that have gone on since Vietnam, the issues of PTSD, they're the same, but they're not the same. It seems veterans coming back from Vietnam were not recognized. They sort of ended up being dumped on the airport tarmac with not too many choices or places to go, sometimes not being able to find the resources to help them with issues that are real. And then during the recent conflicts over the last 20 years, the United States has been involved in, there's a lot of redeployment where people have been told to sort of cowboy up, don't be vulnerable, just go back and do your job. And I think that there's a residual effect that has rippled throughout the veterans community because of that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, it's a volunteer military now, and the service members, they make that commitment. And so they do what they have to do for the time period and sometimes more that they're in. In Vietnam, you know, we had the draft and their terms of service were more brief, but no less difficult in terms of their experience in a war zone.
Rita, what kinds of differences are you seeing over that spectrum of time, Vietnam as opposed to now?
I'm still seeing Vietnam-era veterans coming in who've never applied for benefits from the VA, which is shocking. It's surprising. Then again, you know, I keep seeing veterans from that time period who are just now realizing that maybe they are entitled to something. Or maybe they are getting over the idea that the VA didn't want them, which was how a lot of Vietnam veterans felt during that time period, that they felt rejected by everyone, including the VA. So it's good to see them coming in and being able to welcome them home, and they appreciate that, you know, and it's good to let them know that they have access to benefits and help them get them.
Well, getting the word out to veterans is one thing. And then, of course, access to benefits.
And Rita, when folks come to you, what kind of services and supports are available through VetConnect and supportive services?
VetConnect is an outreach, information, and referral program. So when a veteran comes in through a brief interview, I can usually find out where they are in terms of benefits, what they might be eligible for if they don't already know. We can provide some direct service and then make referrals for things that we don't actually provide. The one thing that we don't actually do is file disability claims. We refer veterans who are wanting to file disability claims with the VA to service officers in the community that are trained to do that work.
To help them to navigate through that paperwork and so on.
I can help veterans apply for health care, help them get their discharge documents, which is a common request, and then provide other services. Now that I am working also with the Veterans Housing Program at OLECAP, there's more direct service that I can provide through that program. Originally, I was a volunteer for about 5 years and did the outreach work with VetConnect. Over the past year, I've been employed by OLECAP part-time and assist with the Veterans Housing Program. It's supportive services for veteran families, and that's a VA grant to provide housing and rental assistance to veterans and their families. And I believe OLECAP's had that grant for probably at least 10 years.
That goes hand in hand with the whole homeless problem and the whole idea of finding shelter here in the county.
That's one of the biggest problems right now is housing. And that's not news. We all know that housing in general and affordable housing is a real problem. And there are plenty of resources, financial resources, to help veterans who are homeless get into housing, or to help veterans who are under threat of becoming homeless to prevent that from happening. The problem is that there isn't the housing for them to be placed in and housing options, because you're talking about veterans that have been homeless, especially chronically homeless veterans. They're not going to easily necessarily just walk right into an apartment and become able to manage all of the things you have to manage when you live independently like that. So we need more options, housing options, to get people off the street and out of their tents.
The transitional part is really important, isn't it, Rita?
Yes, it is. And we do have Bayside Housing now building their program with the tiny homes or the wooden tents. And that's been a real help. You know, I've personally referred several veterans to Bayside, and we need more of those kinds of options.
Rita, if anyone listening wants to either access the services of VetConnect or potentially talk more about how they might be able to dedicate their space to housing a veteran or their family, who would they connect with? How would they connect with you?
They can connect with me through phone or email. My direct line at OLECAP is 360-344-4940. And my email address is rfrangione@olecap.org. I'm also available every Wednesday at VetConnect. We're located at VFW Post 7498 at 31 Matheson Street in Port Hadlock. We're there every Wednesday from 10 to 2 for walk-ins. So any veteran, family member can just walk in without an appointment, and we will see them and evaluate what they need and then direct them to services.
Rita, before we sign off, it would be really important to talk about the importance of healthcare for our veterans and the vast need that all of our veterans have, no matter whether they're homeless or not, the services available to them and how they can access them.
Well, the VA has a program called Community Care now, which allows veterans, especially those in rural areas, to use local medical providers under the support of the VA. Jefferson Healthcare is one of those providers, and there are some ancillary providers as well in the community. Pacific Eye Care, for instance, Peninsula Hearing for hearing aids. And this has been a great program, especially for our community, because we live far away from VA hospitals in Seattle and Tacoma. And there's only one small clinic on the peninsula, which is in Port Angeles. Being able to use a local medical provider is really important for many of our veterans, especially elderly veterans. The problem with that program is it's a cumbersome program. It's improving all the time, but it puts a lot of burden on the veteran to have to navigate through how to get authorized. So we do a lot of assistance to veterans along this line. I mean, sometimes I'll just sit down and make a phone call to the VA with the veteran sitting there to get the process completed. It's a good program. It's a valuable program. It's a program that's not going to go away as far as I can see, but it's a little cumbersome right now.
A little cumbersome, but an extremely important program, considering the fact that we're in a rural area. Like you say, that Veterans Hospital is a long ways away.
And I think Jefferson Healthcare has done a great job with trying to develop a system and a process to make this easier for our vets.
Rita, I love the web you're weaving with all of these partners to provide a network of support for the community. It's fantastic.
We have great providers in this community, and that's one of the things I did want to emphasize, that we all know each other and we all work together. We're a tight-knit group. You know, you call, they'll answer your phone call, return your email. If there's something that one of us doesn't know how to do, we contact another and we get it done. So we all work together really well. I'm very proud of that in our community.
Rita Frangioni, thank you so much for joining us here on Community Tides, Outreach Coordinator for VetConnect and Supportive Services through Olympic Community Action Programs of Jefferson and Clallam Counties, or OLECAP, as we are fond of saying here. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for all you do for our veterans community. Very, very grateful.
It's my pleasure.
Rita, I just want to say, in addition to the work that you do, the nature that you have is so lovely. And I know that makes such a big difference with the veterans when they come to you, that to find someone who is comforting and calm and just so. Thank you. It's been a real joy to spend time with you this morning.
Thanks very much.
Theme music for Community Tides was As If We Didn't Know, composed and performed by Philip Auberg from his album Upright on Windham Hill Records. This has been another edition of Community Tides, coming to you during the noon hour on alternate Fridays here at KPTZ, with yours truly, Chris Bricker, and my co-host, Siobhan Canty, President and CEO of Jefferson Community Foundation. Thank you for joining us on Community Tides.